Good morning. Good morning. I'm Susan Quincy, and I am the deacon for the month of December. Today's reading is from Philippians 3, 12 through 15. It can be found on page 1070 in your pew Bible. Not that I have already obtained this or have already reached the goal, but I press on to make it my own, because Jesus Christ has made me his own. Beloved, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but this one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on towards the goal of the prize of the heavenly call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us, then, who are mature be of the same mind. And if you think differently about anything, this too God will reveal to you. This is the word of the Lord.
I thank you for the privilege and the invitation to be with you today. And it's such a pleasure and a blessing to be with you, particularly during this Advent season. And I'd like to especially say thank you to Pastor Bruce for inviting me today. If you would you briefly pray with me? Lord, draw us closer to you through the study of your holy word. Shine your light of love and grace, and let each one of us hear you speak into our hearts this morning. The text has already been read in your hearing this morning, Philippians 3, 12 through 15, and so I will not reread that. However, I will draw your attention with me around the sermon topic, In Pursuit of Peace. In December of 2006, the blockbuster movie In Pursuit of Happiness was released. It was a biographical sketch of Chris Garner, who was a bright and talented but marginally employed salesman. And he was struggling to make ends meet. Unfortunately, he found himself and his five-year-old son being evicted from their San Francisco apartment with nowhere to go. Fortunately, Garner does land an internship at a prestigious stock brokerage firm, but it didn't really put him very far because it was unpaid also. And so he and his son continued to endure many hardships, including living in shelters, in pursuit of his dream for a better life for he and his son. Now, I'm a movie goer and critic. Nobody pays me for my criticism, but I'm a critic. And so I would tell you, in my opinion, this was a pretty good movie because it was filled with struggle, determination, and ultimately successful triumph. And as a viewer, I couldn't help but to cheer this father and son that they would make their goal, and hoping they would not only find success, but I was also cheering that they might find peace in their pursuit for a better life. And if the truth were told, aren't we all in pursuit of peace? One of the most heartwarming aspects of the Christmas season is its encouragement, promise of peace. You see, peace is the recurring theme of the nativity story, and according to Luke, a multitude of heavenly hosts, the ones who appear before the shepherds that night of Jesus' birth, also sang of peace. Peace on earth, goodwill to all. And one of our favorite carols picks up that same theme when we sing Silent Night, Holy Night, All is Calm, All is Bright, Round Young Virgin, Mother and Child, Holy Infant, so tender and mild, sleep in heavenly peace. Sleep in heavenly peace. And so when we think about this second Sunday of Advent, which calls us to ponder, how do we prepare and make way for peace in our lives for the coming of Christ? I believe that we can only prepare for the Prince of Peace when we make ourselves ready and the world ready for the reign of the peace of God by striving to be peacemakers, by announcing through our lives our personal commitment to live in peace, and through our commitment of who God is and what the kingdom of God is about. Paul offers us an image that we can use to look at what does it mean to be in pursuit of peace. You see, to make his point about single-focused pursuit, he says, and he uses the image of a sprinter. And he says, as a sprinter, you must press forward to win the race. And even though we would say we're not in a race in pursuit of peace, we can all probably agree that pursuing peace does have its challenges. And he stresses the importance is that we are not looking back. A sprinter today told me that it is very important that you're not looking back, because if you will, you will become distracted. And so it's important that we are faced forward and that we are not distracted. The text this morning gives us, in Philippians, gives us a glimpse of what a good thank you note looks like. Because this thank you note that Paul writes to the Philippian church turns into a note of encouragement that is indeed filled with good news and filled with joy. Even though he's writing from prison. Now that's a pretty unusual type of a letter to receive from someone who's in prison, I would think. But he uses and he chooses this athletic metaphor as a way of saying, this is how you move forward in your pursuits. I love the fact that he says, you must press forward, because I think he makes it clear for you and I to know and to understand that we have to realize that we're pressing and we're pursuing because indeed God has a goal for our lives. And he comes alongside of the Philippians as well as you and I in this text like a coach who's been there. And he says, here's the path. Keep moving forward. Determine in your mind that pursuing Christ will change your life. Pursuing Christ will change your life, and that it will have a tremendous impact on the quality of your life. We are all in this pursuit. And he says, first, follow me because I'm doing it. And by realizing that I have not arrived where God has called me, I love in the text in verse 12 and 13 when he says, not that I have already obtained this or have already reached the goal, but I press to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. He says, beloved, I do not consider that I have made it my own. But I like the way the New Living Translation says the same thing. You say, it says, I don't mean to say that I have already achieved. I like that. I don't mean to say that I have already achieved this or that I have already reached perfection. I'm not perfect in this. But I press on to possess the perfection for which Christ has first possessed me. Possessed me. That means that he is no longer his own. He's saying to us very clearly that he has a new identity in Christ Jesus, that he has given over completely to Christ. And you see, in his new identity, again, he reminds us that there is a goal. And the question is, many people will say, well, what is the goal? Well, the goal is transformation. The goal is that we will be transformed as ambassadors of God's love, God's hope, God's peace in the world. Paul reveals that through his personal encounter with Christ Jesus, and I would insert here that you and I also, through our personal encounters with Christ Jesus, can claim that we have been placed on a new racetrack, and that God's perfect plan is for peace. You see, in Philippians 4:7, Paul tells us and reminds us that with God, we can expect peace that passes all understanding, and that it is in Christ's peace that we can experience the joy, the fulfillment, the contentment, and the eternal blessing that each of us are in pursuit of. You know, a lot of people will say, well, what is peace? And many people will say peace is about having contentment. I can agree with that. And you will also hear people say peace is about having relationships that are calm and calmness in their lives. I would offer to you that peace to me is in relationship with Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace. I would also offer to you that in this text, that we are also being called to action in pursuit of peace with Christ, and knowing that God is not finished with us yet, that indeed we have not arrived. In fact, in verse 13, he goes on further to say, but this one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward for what is to be ahead. And this athletic metaphor is a simple reminder that we cannot fixate or live in our past. We can't do that. Our spiritual health, our spiritual maturity, our spiritual growth depends on us facing forward and leaving what is behind. I think we can probably all agree that it's counterproductive to our well-being when we fixate on the past. Now, this is what I mean by that. In this holiday season, we are all going to have opportunities and times to gather with family and friends. And we all know that we have members among those groups who will challenge us. They will challenge our peace. Amen. We can also agree that they will mess with our ability to show kindness and to live in peace. But I urge you this morning to think of your identity in Christ and be intentional not to nurture and hold on to past hurts. And remembering that when we do, or if you choose to do that, it's like drinking poison for your soul, realizing that you are the primary person who will be destroyed by holding on to and nurturing past hurts. And I promise you that this is a perfect opportunity and time to step away and let go of your past and seize the opportunity to end hostilities, as well as to create new memories of good times shared with these persons. You see, it's in the light of our new identity in Christ that we can even believe that that's a possibility. Amen. You have been told by me and by Pastor Bruce that I am a missionary headed to Hungary. and that I will be serving a 5-year term as a school chaplain in the public schools. I marvel at how the Hungarians are moving past their history. Their history of being a communist country for multiple decades, and that they are envisioning a future that holds peace and hope for people in their society. In moving past their past, they are intentionally forging a new life that includes religious freedom. That's big. That's a big deal. And you see, they're doing it through the school system, is one way that they're doing it. My in-country partner and international ministries are coming together for this ministry. You see, what has happened here is that the government has invited religious institutions to partner in managing these schools. And my partner has taken responsibility for 49 schools, 49 of the poorest schools in this country. Under communism, all practices of Christianity and religious freedom were completely stripped from this society. So when they ask the question, who is Jesus? It's not a rhetorical question, not in any way. They really are asking because the likelihood is they do not know. Wow, very different than the United States and many countries who have not had this experience. The other thing about this is that this missionary assignment is 100% about the gospel. Hungary is not a third world country. Not in the sense that we think of third world countries. There's not some great humanitarian effort for saving in terms of living conditions. This is 100% about the spiritual condition of a people. Isn't that why we come to church? Isn't that why we do mission and community outreach? Because we want to change the spiritual condition of a people, of a person that we're coming into relationship with? Well, that's what this mission is 100% about. And I've said, Lord, sign me up. I want to be a part of sharing your gospel, of bringing your hope, bringing your peace to a people who have not had the opportunity to know you, to have the freedom to worship you in the way that I have and the way my American counterparts have. Yes, as a missionary, I promise you, I'm giving up and surrendering my future to the Lord. When I think about my past, hey, I had a pretty good job. I had good identity in that job, good reputation. I had a home that I loved living in. In fact, I had lived there for 28 years. How many of you know downsizing isn't easy? I had a car. Or I have a car today, but I'll be giving it up. A car that I have finally wanted. Lord knows I'd wanted a hybrid car forever and forever. Finally got one. I'm giving that up for public transportation. And all for the cause of the gospel. I don't know what God is asking you to surrender. I have no idea, but trust me, I do know that if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, that God has not saved you. for sitting on the pew. God has saved you for a purpose. God has a call for your life just like he has for mine. And I encourage you to pursue that. Pursue that because if you are pursuing peace, that is where you will find peace. When you find yourself right in the very center of God's call for your life. And as a people of faith, my point is this. We gather as a community of believers, to be ambassadors for Christ in this world. And so I say to you, whatever your call is, answer the call. Answer the call because, as Paul has said to us, the primary aim of the believer is to know and experience Christ and to share and to hold on and to live in our lives anchored in Christian values. Every day we must realize that our race is not finished and that we are in pursuit of the Prince of Peace. And knowing that our work is not done, we have to prepare our hearts continually to be instruments of peace, to be fully engaged in God's purpose and call for our lives. So, as a coach at halftime, I'm going to say to you, there is still much to be done for Christ. There is still much to be done in the name of Christ. And I leave you with more words by Paul, and they are this. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Our peace with God begins when we receive the gift of Jesus, a gift made through his sacrifice on the cross. This table of the Lord is open to all fellow Christians, and although no one should partake of these sacred emblems impenitent or without faith in Christ, we invite all who are sincerely seeking him to receive from his table in the assurance that he who came into the world to be the Savior of all will receive you as his own.
On the night he was betrayed, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is given for you. As often as you eat this bread, do this in remembrance of me." May we pray?
God, we ask you to bless this bread, which is symbolic of the body of your Son. Bless all who receive this communion, which we do in remembrance of him. With this bread, fortify our souls with the benevolent spirit of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Faith in Jesus.